in studio this morning with Rosie on the house. We've got Tom Riley of Renovations. Mike Reish, our brilliant broadcast engineer, has his parents in celebrating their 39th anniversary, visiting from Charlotte. It's a good time to be visiting from Charlotte right now.
Did you see the rally Durham was on the homepage of the Republic Friday or Thursday even Wednesday? Mm-mm. But the entire town, it was the freeway. And it looked like a picture from Atlanta a few weeks ago. Freeway completely stopped, and one person with an umbrella just walking through traffic. You tell they just, screw it, I'm walking home. I'm not sitting here.
Yeah.
That was the first one out of gas, I bet.
I was talking to this woman on the phone from Pennsylvania yesterday, and she was saying, I don't know how they're having so much trouble. It's just a couple inches of snow. That's so ridiculous. And I guess in Pennsylvania, last night they had a 100 car pileup.
Oh,
it's the ice. It's not the snow.
100 car pileup. Oops. Well, I've just got one question for Mike's mom.
2 inches of snow in Phoenix would wreak havoc.
Oh yeah, it would. Yeah, two inches
of snow in Phoenix, I think, would surprise a lot of people. What would happen? Yeah. Now, Preston can handle it.
Rain wreaks havoc in Phoenix.
Yeah, exactly.
It does. So Mike Reish, our board operating and engineer, has his folks in this weekend, and his mom brought in a tea ring. That's what we call that?
Yes.
On a cookie sheet. Is that a cookie sheet she found at your house, or did she have to go out and buy it?
You know the answer to that.
She went out and bought it.
She started asking. What's that? My pizza comes in a cardboard box.
Yes, The cookie sheet looked kind of new, so I was just curious. All right, very good. A delicious tea ring. Thank you very much for bringing that in. All right, we're talking about remodeling because all projections are now indicating that you, the Arizona homeowners, are going to be spending as much money remodeling your home as you were back in the heyday of the housing bubble, as much as we were spending back in 2006 and 2007. It sure seems to be that way because we are certainly getting the phone calls. They're ringing off the hook at our office. And I've got Tom Riley, our Rosie Certified Remodeling Contractor from Prescott Inn. The name of his company is Renovations. Tom's been serving the Yavapai Quad City area for 30 years. So we're talking about categories of people that are now calling us. So it's that first category of somebody that bought really, really low. And you know what? In all of that category, there's only one person I want to scratch their eyes out and choke them to death. And that's my stockbroker. Because did you know you could take your IRA money and buy real estate investment property? I could have gotten completely out of the stock market and bought homes in historic Phoenix and historic South Scottsdale around Coronado High School for 35 cents on a dollar.
So I take it your stockbroker is no longer Rosie certified.
God. When my brother-in-law did that in Sacramento, I said, you can't do that with your IRA money. He said, yes, you can. It's under some very tight guidelines, but I wanted to scream, I wanted to cry, and I wanted to throw up. All at the same time. That's exactly right. There were golden gems down there built by Allied Homes all up and down. McDonald and Miller.
That green belt, I think is what they call
it. Gosh, masonry homes, solid bones.
That's what you look for in a home is the good solid bones.
I could have bought 20 of them little boogers. So anyway, the one category that we've talked about are ones that bought really, really right. Then there are those that did what was right. They stuck it out. They didn't walk away from the property. They stayed in their homes. They deferred every expense they could, including maintenance. And now these deferred maintenance projects are coming back as something a little bit more significant than just caulking and painting.
There are that, and I think that you have... I'd like to tie this in with your next category with that you were talking about the other day. I think that the deferred maintenance goes hand in hand with people who have deferred desirable projects. They've wanted to do something, but they held back doing it simply because they either didn't have the money, they wanted to hoard their cash, during the recession and what have you. So I think that the deferred maintenance has grown to be more than just deferred maintenance. You're absolutely correct. We're doing a lot of decks. Replacing decks up in Prescott right now. And we keep the structure there, but we replace the decking. And so that's a deferred maintenance issue. People just haven't kept up with the wood that they put down. And in the Prescott area, if you have a wood deck and you haven't painted it or oiled it every year, you got splinters in your feet.
Oh, yeah. Or your grandchild's forehead.
Exactly.
That's the way it is in our house.
Exactly.
As they go bopping and skidding across. So you've got that issue. Now, are y'all going back in there on the lumbered decks and going back in with composite material? Or y'all?
We use composite materials whenever we can. It costs a little bit more money to put the composite material in. But by the time you come to your third or fourth year where you no longer have to maintain it, you're now ahead of the game.
Yeah.
And the composite materials, some have had some problems in the past, but the stuff that we're seeing now is good, solid materials.
Well, we're seeing people that we actually went out on estimates just to do a painting job in 08 or 09. And now they're calling us back, and I'm thinking, okay, what could they want done now? You know, what is it? Well, it's that paint job that they didn't do in 08.
And now it needs more than just a paint job.
Oh, and now you're talking about some fascia replacement. You're talking about, you know. And then you get into that point, and they're thinking, well, gosh, if we're going to do that much work, then, you know, now we do have a little bit of equity in our home. Maybe now's the time to go ahead and, you know.
Our favorite phrase when we walk into somebody's house and they
since
go.
Since you were here.
While you're here.
You know, the sensuous rule.
It's great. And I think that a lot of people have deferred projects, and those projects are starting to come along. And that's a good thing for us. We particularly enjoy people who have thought for a long time about what they want to do. You know, I've really thought through my kitchen, and they bring out a stack of magazines that have different photographs that they like in there. But people who have thought about what they want to do with their master bathroom, the master suite, the kids have moved out and they want to, you know, recapture that extra kid's bedroom for expanding the master suite or a new office or whatever they want. They've given it a lot of thought. And that helps us help them better.
Oh, absolutely.
It really makes it easy for us to sit down and make sure that they can achieve their goals.
And that's almost where we're going when I want to talk about the third category of buyers that we're seeing right now. They're just tired of waiting. In 07 and 08, they had this master bathroom exercise library master suite addition going off the back end of the house. Well, now they're calling back and they're just tired of waiting. Now it may just be a simple closet and bathroom remodel project. It isn't that $250,000 project that we were talking about in 07 and 08. I'll tell you when our phones quit ringing is when George W. Bush went on national television October 11th, 2008, and he said, I've been to the edge of the abyss. And you know what? I'm thinking to myself, at that point, I'm thinking to myself, President, there's a whole lot of things you could have said. I don't think I'd have said that.
Well, yeah, there's a whole lot of things a lot of presidents have said that I don't think
there's a whole lot of things you could have talked about, but I don't think I've been to the edge of the abyss. And our phones didn't ring for 4.5 months.
Our phones didn't ring for quite some time. There was times back there where me, the office manager, and our production manager would sit down and decide who's getting a paycheck this week.
Let's call each other, right?
Yeah, really.
The other time our phones have been that quiet is when George W. Bush and, help me, the runoff.
Gore?
The presidential runner, Gore, and Al Gore had to go to Florida and count hanging chads. And we didn't know who the president was going to be for about 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Our phone didn't ring for 6 months back then.
Well, we're going to try to keep ourselves together here and try to get enough of a backlog so that we can work ourselves through the 2016 election. Because election years are great in the first two quarters, but it starts slowing down in the second quarter. It is at a standstill in the third quarter.
Yeah, it
and
is.
The fourth quarter, maybe it'll start to pick up again with the same kind of folks that you're talking about now, people who defer doing a project.
Yeah, the great election years when you get to decide which one's going to screw us up worse.
Yeah, well, let's not go there.
But it's true.
Politicians.
But that is a big load of our callers right now. People we were visiting with in 07 and 08 for very large remodeling projects that were probably in their bed sipping coffee, watching the morning news, and hearing, Merrill Lynch is going bankrupt today.
Yeah, that's exactly
Lehman
right.
Lehman Brothers is going bankrupt today. Do you remember those days?
I don't want to.
Why do you keep talking about them?
Those are dark days.
It was like the Twilight Zone.
Those are the dark days, Rosie. Man. Let's talk about something more positive.
Well, now those customers are coming back.
Yes, they are.
And they're saying, okay, you know, we were at the edge of an abyss, but we didn't fall off, and now I'm tired of waiting.
And it's exactly right. And we're getting calls from people with exactly that in mind.
And on the topic today of what to do first, kitchen or bath, that we haven't quite got to, what, in y'all's opinion, as you've seen over time, has been the better return on investment? If done right, and it's not a slap and jack job, does the kitchen or the bathroom have a better return on your investment for...
I'm going to say it depends on what the house was in the beginning. If it's a two-bath house... And you're adding another bath. That's going to be a huge return.
It is. The national data suggests that the highest return on your investment is going to be the master bath.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you put into your master bath, if you're going to turn that house around within a year or two, you'll probably get anywhere from 85% to 90% of what you've spent back. Next is the kitchen, and kitchens hover between 75% and 80% back. I will tell you that anybody who is trying to fix their house, and I've told this to clients, I talk myself out of work all the time. I tell folks that, you know, do I want to do my kitchen or do I want to do my bath? Your question of the day, Romy. I tell them, do what you want to do. Because if you're going to do something in your house and thinking that you're going to sell it better because you're doing something in your house, you're probably not right because you're not going to do something that a potential buyer is going to exactly want. They're probably going to tear out whatever you do and do it their way, which we, of course, love. But by the same token, I think that I tell people, do what you want to do. Where do you feel most comfortable? Where do you spend your most time? Do you and your husband enjoy cooking now that the kids have moved out? If that's what you enjoy doing, work in your kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, if your bathroom, if you want your master bath to become an oasis, you know, then work on your master bath. You have a high-stress job. You come home. You want to relax. This is a great place to put the steam room, things like that.
We on our website, roseandhouse.com, we have a buyer's guide for homeowners on how to select the home of their choice. And it's a very objective spreadsheet that talks about proximity to schools of your choice, proximity to church of your choice, proximity to your work environment, proximity to the neighborhoods or family members that you like to be close to. Take your lot and divide the sales price to see how much you're paying for the land. Look at the square footage of the house and do a very, very, very objective analysis of where are you buying the best per square foot in the area that scores highest on your location priorities. And then you get the last two or three candidates down, and you and your wife sit down and you just ask your wife, which bathroom and kitchen do you like best?
That's exactly right.
And you buy the house of the kitchen and bath she likes best, or you are going to be living in an apartment while she's living in the house with the bathroom and kitchen of her choice. So it is kitchens and baths are the main drivers for sure. Folks, it's Rosie on the House here with Tom Riley of Renovations. Join us in the conversation by dialing 1-888-767-4348. We'll be right back.